Power, 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 power How many know that promotion doesn't come from the north or the south, but promotion comes from God? All power is in his hand. How many of you know that he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth? How many of you know and understand that God's got your situation in his hand? Four of you know it. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody needs to talk to the devil and say, you don't have any strength over me that God doesn't give you. You don't have any power in my life that the blood can't cancel. Well, praise God. Don't you know I read in the book where he's overcome every principality and every power, that everything, every knee in heaven and in earth, they're going to have to bow down in his name. Somebody say all power. All power is in his name. Well, praise the Lord. When we handle the name of Jesus, we're handling a powerful name. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're looking forward next weekend. Brother Kelly Howard's going to be here on Saturday at 6 and Sunday at 10 and 6:30. We're expecting a wonderful move of God. There are flyers in the foyer. Be sure that you get some and invite somebody to come. February the 18th, we're having a team ministry fair. And it's going to be an awesome time of display and showcasing our ministries, and a time for you to peruse and to consider what you'd like to be involved in. We'd love, we don't ever want to just have structure for structure's sake, but we want substance. And we want substance that we can build a structure around to help and to facilitate. But we don't ever just want to have a meeting for the sake of having a meeting. We want to have a meeting with a purpose. We want to have teams with substance. And all we have almost 18 teams that are up and running right now with purpose and with substance. We're going to open up a few more this coming year. Be sure that you check with your team members and make a decision as to what you're going to be doing on that February the 18th from 2 to 4. And then the Alabama Youth Explosion is the 24th and 25th. We're reading tonight from Psalms 48. 1 through 3 and 12 and 13 again. And I just again want to thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost this morning. For those that went down in the water in Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. There is no greater miracle. Somebody say praise the Lord. There is no greater miracle. Because God can heal your body and you can turn your back on him and serve another God. God can supply your need and you can forget where that supply came from. And a natural miracle is a wonderful thing to have. But there is nothing like having a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nothing like laying your head down on a pillow at night and knowing that your heart is right with God. There is nothing like that. There's nothing money can buy that will do that for you. Praise God. So we're thrilled this evening that God is still pouring out the Holy Ghost. Psalms 48, verses 1, 2, and 3. Everyone say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Verses 12 and 13, walk about Zion and go round about her and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. That's her defensive strength. That's her foundational strength. Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation following. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's give God a hand praise and lift up a voice of praise unto him for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God. We praise your name, O God, for your word tonight, for the great privilege of handling your word in this house. Well, praise the Lord. What an awesome day to be alive in the kingdom of God, and prophecy is coming to pass on every hand, and the word of God is so very clear in our day. And I believe we are living in a day of great revival. I know we're living in a day of great darkness, but where that is the case, the light is all the brighter. And I know that we're living in a day of great sin, but what the Bible says, where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. I know we're living in a day of trouble, but I heard a preacher this week say that God is going to, and by scripture he said, God is going to give you double for your trouble. He's got a philosophy about mountains and valleys, and he believes that however low the valley is, that's going to project how high the mountain's going to be. Well, praise the Lord. And that's in a spiritual sense, but I am glad tonight to be alive in 2006. I can't wait to see what God is going to do next. I'm more excited about the things of God right now than I've ever been excited about him in my life. I tell you what, it is better. They told me the truth. This thing gets better. It gets sweeter. It gets richer. It gets deeper. I love it better right now than I loved it when I was 20, when I first got the Holy Ghost. My God, there is nothing that I would trade this experience for. Somebody say praise the Lord. Sometimes I just feel like testifying. I just want to say God's been good to me. God's made a way for me. I could never have imagined what God was going to do. But I'm so glad tonight to be a part of his program. And I tell you, if the past is any indication, God does good work. And I'm expecting to see wonderful things, glorious things from here on out. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I don't want to get too far out ahead of ourselves, but I want to tell you, we put some money down on the property here next door Friday of this week and secured a mortgage on that property. Brother Dan has already got a PowerPoint presentation ready. We're going to wire it up here one night and show you what that property over there looks like with a new sanctuary setting on it and a house that'll seat about 1,200. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to get too far ahead, but I want to tell you, here's the criteria. We got to fill this one up and pay it off before we're going to build that one. If you're excited about building that one, then let's fill this one up and let's pay it off. I can see two services on Sunday morning, a service on Sunday afternoon in Spanish, and a fiery service on Sunday night, first come, first serve, standing room only. Can you see it? My God, I can see it right now. Now, some folks don't know where we came from, but we came from a storefront. We came from a handful, and we filled up the storefront. Well, praise God. And then we moved to the little shotgun white building, and we didn't have many in those days, but we filled up the little white building. And that was a wonderful place, because if I wanted you to move, I could move you. All I had to do was shake the floor, and you'd be shouting. We could have all the visitors were doing this, and they didn't even know how. It was just a floor designed for worship, contagious worship. And we filled the house. How many of you remember the first day we walked in to the red building over here? Began to have services there. And that little building swallowed us up. I'm just telling you, I don't even have to wonder about it or think how God's going to do it. God's going to do exactly what he's been doing. He's going to fill this house up. You won't be able to get a seat in here on Sunday morning or on Sunday night. I'm just telling you, that's where it's going. That's where we're heading. That's what God's going to do. You say, well, what is all that about? It's about souls. It's about the kingdom of God. You see, this thing gets better as it's multiplied. When you half your money with somebody else, you only have half of what you had. When you share your cake with somebody else, you only have half the cake that you had. But the things of God are miraculous. When I share my love with somebody, then we have twice the love that we had. When we share our victory with somebody, then we have twice the victory that we have. When we share the passion of God with somebody, then there's twice the glory of God. It's not just about numbers of people, but that's what God came to harvest. And that's what we're interested in tonight. And as the revival is multiplied, the glory is multiplied, the love is multiplied, the anointing is multiplied. Well, praise God. You don't think so? How many can one of you set to flight? How many can two of you set to flight? It's multiplied exponentially. And you can just do the math there. If one of you can set 1,000 to flight and two of you can set 10,000 to flight, then our multiplied effort is greater than our individual power. And as we grow, my God, I believe we can shake a city from center to circumference. I believe we can shake loose some strongholds that the enemy's had here for a long, long time. Does anybody believe that? Well, praise God. I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in my bald head. You have these rogue thoughts, praise God, about uncontainable revival. About people right now feeling the presence of God because of your worship, and they're trembling in this city and hungry for God and don't know what to do and how to satisfy it. But that's a finger of God on them because of your prayer and because of your worship, and he's drawing them. Praise God. Or how did you come to God? I came because church was having a prayer meeting. I came because a little church was believing God and trusting God. And where they couldn't go and where they couldn't reach, the Holy Ghost came in and set us up. It was a Holy Ghost setup. And that's happening all over this city right now. There's a Holy Ghost setup happening all over this city. You're working with some of them. You're going to school with some of them. Well, praise God. Where's my bulletin? Psalms 48, 1 through 3. Have a seat. Clap your hands. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We can't go back and rehearse and review everything, but we've been talking about the fact that in the Old Testament, there was a place, and in a place that God put his name and his spirit would abide there. That was where Israel had to come to worship God. God gave them a designed place, and that place was going to be Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was destroyed, and Israel fell out of favor with God. And Jesus, he projected what was going to happen in the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And he told the woman at the well that it's neither going to be in the mountain of Samaria nor in Jerusalem, but in a place called Spirit and Truth. Somebody say praise the Lord. And that was going to be the fulfillment of what we read here in Psalms 48. Mount Zion, the city of our God, the city of our great God, the joy of the whole world. It used to be Jerusalem and it used to be Israel, the only hope the world had. But it's not that anymore. It's the church of the living God. And it doesn't matter if it's in Bangladesh or in Birmingham. It doesn't matter where the people are standing, as long as they're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's where God's presence is going to be. That's where he puts his name on believers. We had three that went down this morning and the name of Jesus was applied to their lives as they broke the water of baptism, and when they came up, they were buried together with Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. The church of the living God then is the fulfillment of physical Israel and geographical Jerusalem. And the church of the living God then is where you're going to find God's covenant and God's covenant people and the spirit of the living God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 18 through 24 depicts us as a different group from those that went to the mountain at Sinai. But he says you haven't come to that mountain, but you've come to Mount Zion. And he describes it as a holy place and a place populated by innumerable angels. And he says it's the church of the living God and the souls of men made righteous or made just by the power of God. And the projection is that the church of the living God is now Jerusalem. I want you to take note of Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. And everyone say, now therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. How can you say that? Do you live in Jerusalem? No, it doesn't matter. I'm a part of the household of God because I share their daddy's name. I've got the same name because I share the blood of the sacrifice. We've been covered by the same blood. And the word of God says he adopts us by his spirit. And we've all been adopted into the same family by the spirit of the living God. We're not strangers anymore. We were not a people, but now we are a people. Made a people by the word of God and by his covenant. Verse 20, and we are built. Everybody say, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And without that foundation, it's not the church. It may carry a Bible. It may have church in its logo. It may be accepted in a sense of societal acceptance as the church. But I'm telling you, we're a long, long way from what the church was when it was birthed in the book of Acts. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, as we're looking at this, we set up a straw man of sorts this morning, but I want to look at that again just a little bit. If I could get maybe you three or four gentlemen right here to come and stand and be representative of the apostles of the first century church. We have Peter and James and John and Andrew and some short fella here that is going to grow up to be a mighty apostle. Well, praise God. But these are those that walked with Jesus, and for 3 years they were under his tutelage, and they were the ones to whom he revealed the secrets of the kingdom, and they were the first to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were the first to begin to preach the gospel. They founded the church in the book of Acts. They were the fathers of the first century church. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he left the government of the church, the doctrine of the church, the understanding of the church in the hands of those original apostles. There were 120 there at the birthing of the church on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. Chase, if you could help me and Brother Ted and Julius. And these men will be our early Catholic fathers. Our early fathers of the Council of Nicaea and the beginnings of the Roman church. And they're 250 to 300 years separated from the beginning of the church. And yet it is here that you find the birth of the Trinity, Mariology, idolatry, infallibility of the Pope, baptism in the titles, and sprinkling. And that rises up 200, 300 years after the beginning of the church. Now listen to me. You can hang your soul upon the counsel of these men, but they're 200 or 300 years off the mark. And the only way to achieve continuity with those early apostles is to follow the guidebook that they lived and they wrote. It is possible to achieve continuity with the first church, but you do it by the word of God. It is the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, these gentlemen have taken a hard right and they've gotten off the foundation. There was no Trinity in the first generation church. There's no word for that in the Word of God. There's no reference to the God, the Son. Nobody is sprinkled and nobody's baptized in the titles. They didn't venerate Mary and worship her. They were there in the upper room with her when she received the Holy Ghost. But 200, 300 years later, there is this synthesizing of Roman and Grecian and Judeo theology. And the Romans and Greeks had a pantheon of many gods. They were polytheists. And they looked at that one God of the Jews and they were offended by it. They were offended at the thought that there could only be one God. And so as they merged together with Christianity, they found that they could turn this thing and project a plurality of gods. And they did that under the canopy of the Trinity. And they think that there's a separate Father and a separate Son and a separate Holy Ghost. But they cover themselves by saying, but these three are one. Praise God. Praise God. There are 1,200 titles in the Word of God for God. And if you wanted to use all of his titles, it would take you a while. But he's far more than three. But he's never more than one. He's the burning bush for Moses. He's the captain of the Lord's host for Joshua. But he's only one God. He's the angel that wrestles with Jacob. He is Melchizedek that appears to Abraham. But he's only one God. He's Alpha and he's Omega. But he stands outside of time, only one God. He's the creator and he is the Christ. But he's only one God. In John chapter 10, they took up stones to stone him again. And he said, for which of the good works that I do, do you stone me? And they said, we don't stone you for your good works. We're stoning you because you're a man and you're making yourself to be God. Now you tell me, even his enemies heard what he said. His enemies in the first century said, we heard him loud and clear. He was saying he was God. Not that he was a part of God or a piece of God or some representation of God, but that he was all of God. 300 years later, they're blind to the fact. But what do you want to do? Do you want to follow after something that was birthed 300 years later? Or do you want to follow after the foundation stones of the apostles and the prophets? Praise God. Give me Luther and Knox and Zwingli and John Calvin there, brother mine. Nice tie, John. Praise God. And these guys are 1,500 years later. And they give rise to the Protestant movement. And some of them sprinkle and some of them baptize. And they protested or they were reactionary against the established Roman church. But as they broke away, they kept the primary theology, which was the concept of the deity, which was the Trinity. And to the man, they are all Trinitarian, or I could tell you they are tritheists. They believe in three rather than in one. They believe when you get there, you're going to see three. They believe when you pray, you ought to talk to each of the three. And it's a problem because when you go back to that first century church, that didn't exist. That wasn't the way that it was, not in the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. But the question is, do you want to hang your hat on something that's 1,500 years after the fact? Do you want to stand with these that nail their thesis on the door at Wittenberg and proclaim the just shall live by faith? Do you want to stand with that? Or do you want to stand with Peter and James and John and Andrew? Praise God. I need some fellers here. Brother Terry, would you come help me? Brother Freeman, come help me. And you can just sit. You can be representative of the church today. I brought the Word of God in before a pastor, and I said, I've been talking to these apostolics, and they've been telling me about the name of Jesus. You see, as we're identifying this church, we're following the latter part of Psalms 48 that said, walk about her, tell her towers or look upon her towers and consider her bulwarks and think about her palaces and know what she's made of. And if this is the New Testament church, you've got to know what constitutes the New Testament church. We talked about it this morning. You might get out on a golf course and you may play a game, but it may not be anywhere related to golf. You may be in a church house and you may carry a Bible, but it may not be anywhere near going to church. Well, praise God. You say, that's very exclusive language. This is a very exclusive language. That's a very hard position. The difference between heaven and hell is a pretty hard option. Well, you don't love people. Man, I love everybody. God loves everybody, but somebody's going to hell. And I got to find out where the dividing point is. I've got to find out what makes the difference in this thing. I walked into modern Christianity. I opened the book and I said, I got a problem here, sir. Maybe you could help me. You were my pastor till I was about 15 years of age. Why don't you tell me the answer to this riddle? I have a conundrum here. Jesus says that I ought to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter says, ought to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What in the world shall I do with this? And he closed the Bible. Everybody say he closed the Bible. Because he wasn't interested in the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He wasn't interested in what the word of God said from the first century. He began to say, I'll take Jesus's words over Peter's, which is abject confusion, because he said Peter didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And Peter didn't understand what the commandment was about. You can't do that 2,000 years later. You can't arrive at a conclusion and say somebody that was right there at ground zero, somebody that walked with the master, somebody that took the scroll in his hand and began to preach the opening salvos of the church of the living God. You can't tell me you know more in 2006. I'm going to make a statement to you here, preacher. If you don't stand with Peter, you're not standing with Jesus. It's not a matter of taking Jesus over Peter. If you're not standing with Peter, you can't stand with Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, tell her towers. Consider her palaces. Mark her bulwarks. You need to know what it takes to be a part of the church of the living God. You need to know what the criteria is for being a part of the church of the living God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If you want to be a part of that church, clap your hands unto him and lift up a voice of praise unto him tonight. Praise God. It's possible to achieve continuity. Now, this morning we talked about the fact that a notable tower in that first century church, as you walk around it in the book of Acts, is the name of Jesus. But ever since, the name of Jesus has been diminished because he's just a part. He's just a player. But let me tell you, Jesus is all in all. Jesus is the name of God for this dispensation. Jesus is the sin cleansing name. Jesus is the healing name. Jesus is the name of the Father. It is the name of the Son. It is the name of the Holy Ghost. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And so when you find the apostolic church, or you find the original church, you're going to find a preeminent tower of the name of Jesus. You won't hear that any more prominently than around an apostolic church. It's Jesus every day, every morning, when I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, it's Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. We baptize in his name. I said we baptize in his name. Why do you do that? Because everybody in the Bible was baptized in that name. We baptized three this morning, and we disagree with almost everything that's standing and breathing in modern day Christianity. Why is that? Because we'd rather agree with Simon Peter than agree with the ecumenical masses today. Oh, somebody ought to say praise the Lord. My God, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hate anybody. I just want to be right with Jesus. I want to be in fellowship with the apostles and the prophets. And the only way to achieve that continuity is to repeat what's done in the book of Acts. It is the history, the birthing, the beginning of the apostolic church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. we talked about this morning, a prominent tower in that New Jerusalem or in that city of the church was the Holy Ghost. They prayed through the Holy Ghost to start that church. John had prophesied about it. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem without it. They received that Holy Ghost. They talked in tongues on the first day that it was born. They talked in tongues in Samaria when the Holy Ghost was poured out. They talked in tongues at the house of Cornelius when the Holy Ghost was poured out. They talked in tongues at Ephesus when Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost was poured out. They talked in tongues this morning right here in the baptistry. They held hands, husband and wife, and the Holy Ghost hit them and they began to talk in tongues together in an instant of wonderful heavenly dispensation. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. There's going to be something about the Holy Ghost in an apostolic church. Paul wants to go to Asia, but the Holy Ghost won't let him. Peter's on a rooftop, and the Holy Ghost knocks him out. Cornelius is in prayer, and the Holy Ghost comes to him and sends an angel and talks to him. It's Holy Ghost. Agabus picks up somebody's garment and begins to prophesy. Philip has daughters, and they're all prophetesses. What is that? It's a language of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I thank God I talk in tongues more than all of you. He's not being arrogant. He's just telling you, I love talking in tongues so much. I talk in tongues. He said, there's not any possibility that anybody alive is talking in tongues more than me. What a claim. Could you make that claim? Why was Paul doing that? Because Paul was sold out. Hook, line, and sinker. Wanted to be close to God. And he knew one of the most fantastic expressions of God's grace to us was the gift of God in our lives, whereby we could plunge out of this natural dimension and into the Spirit anytime we needed to, and plug up to the Spirit of God, praying in a language we never learned, the Holy Ghost praying through us. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Emphasis all over that book of Acts on the Holy Ghost. Emphasis on getting the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. It stops. It comes to a screeching halt. They talk about it. They think about it, but they don't receive it. By the Protestant Reformation, they've forgotten about it altogether. And today, there are many, many people that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they don't think it's necessary. They think it's optional. Can you imagine looking at the gift of God and saying, you can take it, you can leave it, it doesn't matter. Looking at the presence of God within your life, Jesus come into your heart and saying to a person, you don't have to have that. You can get by without it, because all it takes is a cognition, just a believing in your mind, and you have grasped salvation. But that's not the way it was in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it was Holy Ghost. You know what? If you find the church of the living God, there'll be something about the Holy Ghost all over that place. Something will happen suddenly. There'll be somebody in the prayer room crying out in travail in the Holy Ghost. There'll be somebody in the worship service losing themselves in the Holy Ghost. That's not happening here. That's not happening here. And it rarely ever happens here. Now, sit down, son. You got to be a... You're just supposed to be cerebral, cognitive, modern, watered-down, quasi-Christianity. I need help here. I can't get any cooperation out of this guy. I need somebody dead, dull, dry, pulled up by the roots. That's what I need. But that's not what the first century church was like. That's not what the first century church was like. You need to walk about her tonight and tell her towers. Somebody push your neighbor and say, walk about her. Tell her towers. Praise God. Because we've got a calling. We've got to be able to tell the generation that is following what the church really is. I said, Mama, tell me about those old tent meetings again. And she said, oh, she said it was great. Everybody got together. The Baptists and the Nazarenes and the Pentecostals and everybody got together, the Methodists, everybody. I said, tell me about them, what they look like. Oh, they all were the same. They were all holiness people. Baptists, Catholics, Nazarenes, who done it? None of those people cut their hair. Their ladies didn't cut their hair, none of them. Why? Because the Word of God says so. But somebody started an idea and said, it doesn't matter what you do. It only matters what you think. And by the time we get down here, it doesn't matter if you abort your babies. It doesn't matter if you shotgun your mama. It doesn't matter if you're ordaining a homosexual into the pulpit. It doesn't matter if you're divorced and remarried 20 times. None of that matters. All that matters is what you think. And you begin to see the disease associated with getting away from the foundation. Because the further you get away from the foundation, the further you get away from the morality of God, the greater license you have. And one of these opened their mouths recently and said, just because we're not in agreement with the Word of God doesn't mean that we're wrong. The entire legitimacy of your church and your calling and your clergy and your position and your calling and everything is dependent upon the Word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want to be a part of the living church of the living God. I want to tell her towers, and I want to be able to tell those that are coming up. I said, Mama, how did those people act in that service? She said, they all shouted. They all shouted. They all had a moving and a worship about them. I said, did they talk in tongues? She said, they all talked in tongues. They all talked in tongues. This was in a rural area back in the 30s, back in the 20s and 30s. They all talked in tongues. Anywhere you found people worshiping God, you found people talking in tongues. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But when she took me to church, she took me to a church that didn't talk in tongues. She took me to a church that didn't get the Holy Ghost. She took me to a church that baptized in the titles. She took me to a church that was a product of the Reformation that just felt like all you had to do was believe, and it didn't matter how you lived. So when you walked out of church on Sunday into Monday, there was a total disconnect. It didn't matter how you lived on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, but they did things at church they never would do in real life, and they did things in real life that they would never do at church. But when you talk about that first century church, it was the same for them on the Sabbath as it was for them in the middle of the week. It was the same. There was no disconnect because it was down inside of them. It was not a religion that they walked into. It was not a structure that they entered and walked out of. But it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, tonight, for just a minute, I want to tell you that another prominent tower of the church of the living God is worship. It always has been worship. It always will be worship. And as you come 300 years away from it, you lose worship. Instead, there's an emphasis placed on reverence. And there's an emphasis placed on quiet. And when you walk in those places, people begin to whisper. And they build tall ceilings, great columns, ornate artwork to make you feel like you're in the presence of something. And you are in the presence of something, but it ain't God. But you feel like you need to whisper in there. But there's never been anything about worshiping God that was done in a whisper. There was never anything about worshiping God that was done still and quiet. Never. Well, praise God. And when they begin to perpetrate that, you guys just took it right up and ran with it. Give me that baton. We can be dead and dull and dry just like you can. And they passed it down, and it's still alive today. It's 2,000 years later. But anywhere you find the real church of the living God, you always find worship. Praise God. You say, well, what is worship? Well, you have to go back to the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Somebody say, praise the Lord. First Samuel chapter 16. And Saul is perplexed and oppressed by an evil spirit. And the servants say, an evil spirit from the Lord has visited you. Find now a man with a cunning hand that can play an instrument. And when he plays, the evil spirit will leave. And the word of God said, David came and he began to jam on his lyre or whatever he played. He began to rock about the kingdom of God and the God of the kingdom. And the evil spirit said, oh, I've got to get out of here. I can't stay here with this worship and this praise. Rule number one, when you begin to praise God, it clears the air of every foul spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. 2 Samuel 2 Samuel chapter 6, they're bringing the word of God into town. And as the word of God comes into town, go ahead and shout about it, brother. As the word of God comes into town, David is out front and he doesn't have a Pope hat on. And he doesn't have a $25,000 or $30,000 or $100,000 robe on. He takes off his robe of royalty. He puts on the common linen ephod of the priest. And the Bible said, David began to dance with all of his might down Main Street. They were leaping and dancing and running. Go to 16. Everybody say, Michael saw David, King David, leaping. Everybody say, she saw him leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him. It's still real. A lot of people despise that kind of worship. But if you want to come before the King of Kings, you know who David is? He's the first king. You know who David is? He's the beginning of the throne of Christ. You know who David is? He's the chosen, the anointed of God, a man after God's own heart. And you know what he says? He says, when you come before God, you need to leap and you need to dance and you need to run and you need to be active in your worship. Praise God. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat is the king. And they've got an enemy that's greater than they are. And they don't know what to do. So they stand before God with their wives and their little ones. And they say, Lord, we don't have any strength. Neither do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you and the Spirit of God. You need that Spirit of God moving. Spirit of God came on a prophet. And the prophet said, stand still this day. And you're going to see God's going to fight this battle for you. You won't need to fight. And after they had chosen, the Bible said they appointed singers. Everybody said they appointed singers unto the Lord. That they should praise the beauty of holiness. We won't get to holiness tonight, but you can't find the church of the living God and not find holiness. Holiness is going to be there anytime you find the church, and it's not a drudgery, and it's not an arduous thing, and it's not a hard thing to bear. It is the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army. Somebody said they went out before the army. Turn to your neighbor and say they sent the choir into battle before the army. And they went to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Anybody in this house got a battle on your hands? Anybody in the house got an enemy bigger than you are? Anybody lack the strength to fight the enemy? Walk out before the enemy. Don't send the army. Don't look for the strength of your arm, but rather go out praising God in the beauty of holiness, saying, blessed be the Lord, his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. And saying, when they begin to sing and praise, God set ambushments against their enemy, and they were smitten. What did they do? They just praised God. You know, when you're in a battle, the strongest position you can be in is a position of praise. When you're in a fight, the strongest thing you can do is begin to praise and magnify God. God needs, God's looking for somebody. Let me tell you something, a preeminent tower around Zion. If you find the city of God, before you ever walk in the door, you're going to hear the clamor of worship. The Bible said when they laid the foundation of Jerusalem, they could be heard afar off, praising and worshiping God. I want you to know, when you pull up out in the parking lot in front of a church that really knows God, you'll be able to hear it before you ever walk in the door. When you walk in the door, it'll be a little shocking. It'll be a little troubling. You might say, my God, it's a little bit loud in this place. But I want you to know the word of God demands praise. And there's power over my enemy when I begin to praise and magnify God. And you can tell me it ain't so, but I'm standing on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And you can tell me that's passed by, but I'm standing on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And you can tell me it's not for today, but I choose to stand on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Clap your hands. Praise God. Don't you love to praise him? Why don't you just take a praise break right now? Give me some help. Take a praise break right now. Take somebody by the hand and say, my, we need to praise him. Let me stop you right now. Let me stop you right now. Just this week, you've stood in your home and you've been fearful and you've thought in your heart, there's an evil spirit come to torment me in this house. I want you to, tonight, when you walk in that house, I want you to set your stuff aside and I want you to begin to praise and magnify God, because praise will drive away any wicked spirit. You can go ahead and praise him now. I just wanted to interrupt you and tell you that. Somebody's been struggling with fear. You can drive that fear away with praise. Hey! Hey! My God! My God! Holy Ghost! Jesus' name! Worship and praise the towers of this new Jerusalem. When you see her, that's what she looks like. Somebody say, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. I think you people are too loud. I think y'all make too much noise. But the word of God says, praise him with a loud noise. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. He brought me out of a deep pit. Read on. Somebody say, he put a new song in my heart. Even praise unto our God. Now, if you want to stand on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, you got to go to the word of God. Everybody says, put a new song in my heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you can't sing the old song anymore. You can't sing the blues anymore. Not in the church of the living God. You got to sing the new song. What is the new song? The new song is praise. Praise God. Well, back up. Back up one. The new song is praise unto our God. So everybody say, the new song is praise unto our God. Not praise unto the new idol or the icon of Hollywood. Not praise unto the new sports star of the NBA or the NFL. Not praise to the new home run king. But praise unto my God. Don't you let anything displace your praise unto God. Now tell your neighbor, and when I praise God, you can see it. Many can see it. Now you gotta get this. When you praise God, it's not like this. Because somebody might see that, but they might not have a slight idea about what you're doing. It's gotta be a little more. He said many can see it. When you praise God, it's overt. It can be outlandish. The only thing it can't be is hidden. Well, I praise him in my heart. Well, that may have happened in Rome, and that may have happened in the Reformation, and that may be happening today, but that's not how it was back in that original church. My God. Listen, tell your neighbor, when I praise God, it's scary. Now come on, you read the word of God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When they walk into this apostolic church, they ought to kind of hold on a little bit. It ought to make them a little bit uncomfortable. It ought to make them a little bit afraid. They ought to say, I've never been in anything like this. Not in all my life. Woo! shake your neighbor a little bit. Come on now. I want you to praise him for a minute and scare your neighbor with your praise. What are those people doing? They look like they're on the war path. Oh, you got it right. We are. We're going to take a city for the name of our God. Clap your hands, all you people. I'm on the foundation. You go in this place. All my heretics have disappeared. You go in this place and do scary worship and clap your hands. They'll be taking you out of there. You go in this place and go. They'll be hauling you out of there. Now these guys have disappeared altogether. You go in this place and act like that, and you'll wind up on their cult watch list. I know that because we're already there. If you don't believe it, go down to Briarwood. Look us up. We're on their cult list. Jesus was on the cult list in his day. Peter was on the cult list in his day. I'm in pretty good company. Everywhere they went, they either had revival or they had a riot. You come in the house clapping those hands. And he said, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Somebody say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, when you praise God, you got to have a smile. There'll be some joy in your life. It ought to make you happy to worship God. You ought to be excited to worship God. My God. At the football game, you can always tell the team that's winning. Can we do a wave? You can always tell the team that's winning because they're acting like fools. Because they're waving their hands. They're clapping their hands. And they got a smile on their face. And you can always tell the losers because they're not doing anything. And they're not smiling. And they're not clapping. And they're not waving. If you're a part of the kingdom of the living God, you're not losing tonight. You're on the winning team. There ought to be some praise in your life. Hey! When you find the church of the living God, you'll always find children worshiping God. I said, when you find the church of the living God, you'll always find little children praising God. And when you find the church that's not God's church, you'll have them saying, what are those children doing? Make them sit down. Make them be quiet. Jesus said, praise is perfected in the mouth of babes and children. David said, strength is ordained Praise God. Go ahead, Adrian. You're doing a good job. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, living for God makes me glad. Say, I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. Sing, I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. Living for God makes me glad. Now we don't come in complaining and griping, but we come in praising and giving thanksgiving. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. This is totally unrehearsed and impromptu. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you count your blessing, you'll be a lot happier. Shake them and say, when you come into the house of God, forget your troubles and start counting your blessings. Come before God with thanksgiving and singing and magnify the Lord, for he is worthy of all the praise. All right, here we go. Praise ye the Lord. Sing the new song. Praise him in the congregation of his saints. Let Israel rejoice. Go ahead. Let them be joyful. Let them praise his name in the dance. Now you can tell me in Rome they don't dance. And you can tell me in the Reformation they don't dance. And you can tell me today that you don't like dancing in church. But the word of God said, let them praise him in the dance. Come on, take your neighbor's hand right now and say, come on, dance with me. Come on. Dance, children, dance. Dance, children, dance. Ho, 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 stop. Bring those children up here. No, bring them up here. Now listen. I don't care what anybody ever tells you. This is what church looks like. I don't care what anybody tells you. This is what church sounds like. Wherever you find the church of the living God, you'll see these towers, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, and worship. Why don't you hold hands and dance a little bit? Praise God. Let him praise him with a timbrel. Everybody in the house get a timbrel. I don't want any timbrels laying on the ground or in a chair. Let's have a timbrel parade. They didn't have these where I was raised. They didn't believe this part of the Word of God. But we want to praise him just like the Word of God said to praise him. With the timbrel and with the dance. Go ahead, Adrian. Everybody say, the Lord likes it. Everybody say, the Lord likes it. And where you find praise, you'll find people coming to God. And where you find praise, you'll find people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Let the saints be joyful. Let them sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Friend, we're serious about praise. This is warfare when we're praising. We're storming the gates of hell. We're fighting against the enemies of God. We're protecting our brothers and our sisters. We're taking on a city. Somebody say, the sword is the word of God. Go ahead, Adrian. Go ahead, Adrian. You bind up the devil with chains. Psalms 150. Everybody say, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. My God, where's the trumpet? Give me a trombone if we don't have a trumpet. Give me a saxophone or a trombone. Tonight. Where's the trombone? Listen to me. Don't you come to this church and leave that trombone at the house. Do it. We don't have a harp, but we got a bass and we got a percussion section. Go ahead, Adrian. Praise him with a timbrel and with a dance. Stringed instruments. Organs. An organ, all right. Loud cymbals. High sounding cymbals. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What are you doing? What are you doing? We're praising him according to the word of God. We're praising him according to the word of God. Everybody say, let everything, let everything,
let everything,
let everything,
let everything,
let everything that has breath.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Acts 16, we're almost done. You're going to get out of here before 8:30. Real quiet. You can't be quiet with a tambourine. They beat Paul and Silas. And they locked them up in the very depth of the dungeon. And they chained them up to a wall and lashed their feet together. And it was midnight. And all they were doing was trying to serve the Lord. They were serving the Lord and they got into all this trouble. Why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why? Oh God, why are you tormenting me this way? All I've ever done is tried to serve you, Lord. And here you lock me up in a dungeon. There wasn't no pity party.
That's right.
In that jail cell. Paul said, wail it gets really late. And wait till it gets really dark. What's the darkest time here? About midnight, Paul. All right. Synchronize your watch here, Silas. And when it hits midnight, we're going to go to caterwauling for God. Clock struck midnight. And there came a sound up out of the bottom of that dungeon. I don't know what they sang. They might have sang, he's an on-time God. They might have sang, there's power, power, wonder-working power. They might have sung, all hail the power of Jesus' name. They might have sung, "You don't know like I know what God has done for me." But as they begin to sing, something began to resonate. And it wasn't in the realm of the sonic, but it was in the realm of the spirit. Something began to shake. And that little praise meeting became the epicenter for an earthquake. And the whole jail began to shake. And the whole block began to rumble. And the prisoners in the next cell, their hands were suddenly free. And the prisoners down the wall, their feet were suddenly free. And the doors began to open up. You tell me why. You tell me why liberty came to that prison. You tell me why freedom came in where there was bondage. You tell me why men got up and began to walk out of doors that were locked to them just a moment before. All because of praise. Walk around Zion. Tell her towers. Mark her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. Wherever you find the church of the living God, you'll find outrageous praise. Well, praise God. Could we thank him all over the house right now? Could we just praise him all over the house? Could we come all down around the altar for just a moment tonight? Every step you take, tell him, "I praise you, Lord. You're good to me, God." Come on, open your mouth and begin to praise him tonight. I don't know what you're playing, but Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Hey, Jesus. Come on up close. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be, step up. Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Jesus. I've got the victory everywhere. Everywhere. Come on, lay your hand on your neighbor and begin to praise as you sing. Jesus. Hey, hey. My God. Everywhere. Everywhere I'll be. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Come on. Somebody who believes it, tell your neighbor, "My God is bigger than all my trouble." Come on, tell your neighbor, "I know what Zion looks like. It's full of the name of Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, and it's full of praise. You can see Zion a mile away. Her towers are the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and outrageous praise and worship." Praise God. Praise God. I want everybody in this altar, everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost in this house right now, I want you to begin to talk in tongues. Let the Spirit of God just flow through your vessel. I want you to do it with confidence and energy and authority. You might want to lift up your hand and begin to punctuate that language. Now take that anointing and lay your hands on one person right by you. Let that anointing flow from one vessel to another. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Talk in tongues. Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I'll be. Jesus.
Jesus is mine. Jesus. Everywhere I go.
Praise God. Praise God. Clap your hands once more. Let's bless his name. Well, we're going to be a little bit sporadic about this. We got Brother Howard coming next weekend, Wednesday night. We'll work again a little bit on the bulwarks, her great strength and her defense. And then later we'll work on her palaces, how her people live. Before we finish, we will have chronicled the defining qualities and characteristics of the Church of the Living God. You need to know what they are so that you can tell the generation that's coming. I want to give you an assignment right now. Before you leave the church tonight, I want you to go to some young man or some young lady, and I want you to tell them what you know about the kingdom of God. Tell them about the name of Jesus. Tell them about the Holy Ghost. Tell them about worship and praise. God bless you. There's prayer here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. They're going to have an apostolic service here on Wednesday. Lord bless you.